Thank you. We all know that we are a large assembly and we need enough time for fellowship also. So everything has to start and begin exactly on time. Otherwise, we will be stealing time from others, you know. So I'm always concerned about that. So I'm glad that we have another week to study God's precious word. We have been studying about spiritual gifts and some of the basic things all of us know, but we are trying to delve deep into the scriptures to see how best we can appreciate it, we can understand it, and we can also appropriate and practice it in our daily life and ministry in the assembly. Now, we heard about the importance of God's word during the ministry time today. So our understanding about all these things have to be derived from God's word. So we don't have anything else, you know. Anything that is prestigious in an assembly setting is only the word of God. My dad used to say that other denominations have larger buildings and they take pride in their big cathedrals. But we don't have that. Another group of denominations take pride in their big hierarchy and they are very happy that they have a hierarchical system. So my dad used to remind us that, remember, we don't have that either. Then other groups take great pride in their ecstatic experiences and miraculous gifts which they claim to have. And he said, boys, remember, we don't have that either. Then what do we have? The only thing we have is the word of God. And if you don't have the word of God, you as a Christian group don't have anything. And he used to repeatedly tell that to us. And in his teachings and preachings, he said, you better take care, make sure that you have the word and you have it well. Because if you don't have this word of God, you don't have anything. All the other groups have other claims for many, many different things. But you, assemblies, brethren, you don't have anything else. Only the word of God. So keep it as a wonderful treasure. Do business with it. Study it. And above all, practice it. So even in relation to 1 Corinthians, that is our study on spiritual gifts, it's a very, very important truth. As I was preparing for today's lesson, spiritual gifts and natural talents, one devotional practical thought the Lord put in my heart is that before our Lord's ascension into heaven, after the crucifixion and resurrection, before the ascension, in his upper room discourse, he said, I will send you. After I go to the Father, I will send you another comforter so that he may be with you forever. In the Old Testament dispensation, the Spirit of God used to come and go, and the Spirit of God was not with God's people, even with the prophets, even the great heroes of faith. He did not permanently indwell them. He will come and he will go. He will come, accomplish certain purpose, and then he will go. But the Lord said, there is going to be a change in the operation of the Holy Spirit. That I will send you my comforter, my advocate, my helper, one like me. He will come, the third person of the Trinity. He will come and he will indwell you permanently. He will lead you into all truth and he will take care of all the various aspects of your Christian life. So, the ever-present nature of the Spirit's dwelling with us, that is the greatest blessing we have in this dispensation. And it is the Spirit of God that leads us into all the truth of God's word. That is why, the doctrine of these spiritual gifts is related to pneumatology, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. If you consult a systematic theology, it usually comes under, the discussion of spiritual gifts come under pneumatology, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Because It is the Spirit that baptizes us into the body of Christ. It is the Spirit that who permanently indwells us. Number two. Number three, it is the Holy Spirit who seals us unto the day of redemption. It is the Holy Spirit who anoints us and separates us to the holy service to which the Lord has called us. It is the Holy Spirit that fills us, controls our life. And it is the Holy Spirit who illuminates us to understand the Word of God. And number seven, it is the Holy Spirit who gifts us with the spiritual gifts. I will repeat it. The Spirit baptizing, number one, and the Spirit indwelling, number two, the Spirit sealing, number three, the Spirit anointing, number four, the Spirit filling, number five, the Spirit illuminating us in the truth of God's word, number six, and the Spirit gifting. These are the major sevenfold ministries of the Spirit that are described in the New Testament. So when we study about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, these are the different operations of the Holy Spirit that we are encouraged to study. So it is the Holy Spirit of God who gives us. He gives us enablements, power, energy, spiritual endowments upon us so that we may carry out God's program for the church effectively. Why does the Spirit of God empower us or gives us? It is not for self-edification, as many believers in the charismatic group wrongly think. It is not for self-edification. It is for the edification of the body of Christ. Self-edification is only a byproduct. When we exercise spiritual gifts, we are also blessed. But it is not for the blessing of the person who exercises spiritual gifts that spiritual gifts are given. The spiritual gifts are given repeatedly throughout the New Testament, especially 1 Corinthians 14. The word is edification, building up, strengthening the body of Christ. So the Lord has endowed you with certain blessings so that when you exercise it in dependence on the Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit, then the Lord uses you as a channel of blessing to strengthen, edify the body of Christ. That's a very sacred thought. That's a very humbling thought. You know, that is why the Spirit has given us spiritual gifts. Another important truth that will go with the statements which I have made is this, that is, the church is the only divinely authorized agency upon the face of this earth to carry out his program. Only the church. We know there are many parachurch organizations and ministries which are doing commendable things, but they are all secondary. They are not primary. In the light of God's word, let me state that clearly according to what I have understood from the scripture. The ecclesia, the body of Christ, is the only divinely authorized institution and agency God has established upon the face of this earth to carry out his purpose. So the primacy of the church, the local church in our daily life context, the primacy, the supremacy, and the priority of the local church. That is why, and we all look for an ideal local church. Local churches cannot be perfect. We don't find a perfect local church in the New Testament. But we find model churches like the church at Philippi, the church at Thessalonica. You know, so it is very important for us to strive so that we may be model churches, ideal churches, to the best of our ability And according to the vision and understanding the Lord gives us, so that we may be able to effectively carry out God's program for the ages. Because church is the only divinely authorized agency the Lord has established upon the face of this earth to carry out that work. No other agency. No, we all contribute to the ministries of various agencies and organizations, parachurch ministries, well and good. But they are not divinely authorized in the sense that the church is divinely authorized and established. So, the ministries, the parachurch and other groups are doing, if they are doing it in the right way, it should complement the church. It should bless the church, like we know Gideon's work, Wycliffe Bible translators, Christian literature printing, CMML, you know, all these ministries doing commendable thing, and we, many of us, are an integral part of these ministries. Many things which the local churches are not able to do effectively, the Lord has given vision to people and persons to come together to start a work in line with the truth of God's word, and those are the word of God. He's not against that. But they don't have the primary place in God's plan and God's agenda. And our commitment also should be to the local assembly, number one. And all other ministries, you know, should be to strengthen, to complement, to bless the local church is doing. So through the many other ministries in which we are involved in, yesterday I was speaking at the DFW youth group, and the topic was ecclesiology on the basic truths of the church. There also I made it very clear that, you know, the youth group ministry, very good ministry, and, you know, several ministries like that we are involved in. But all this, what is the purpose? All this should strengthen our local churches, to make the young people of our local churches mighty in scriptures and to be more spiritually minded and dedicated. Every local church may not be able to do certain ministries effectively, so we pool our resources together so that we can do certain things together, may not be under the umbrella of any one local assembly, but as a group of believers who have the vision to accomplish that purpose, that is well and good. But its aim is, the final objective is always to empower, to strengthen the local assembly. So, this is very important to put things in perspective when we study about spiritual gifts. So, the Spirit of God gifting means the Spirit of God has given us resources and necessary tools to carry out the program of God, which God wants to carry out through us in this dispensation. So through our ministries and the exercise of spiritual gifts, we take the assembly forward. That is how God has designed it. Through my spiritual gift and through your spiritual gift and through the spiritual gift of all brothers and sisters in this assembly, the Lord wants to take ELBC forward, to get it moving forward to the ultimate purpose of Christ-likeness and maturity, and to be an effective witness for the Lord in this generation. So I will, you know, just use an example. This came to me like a very personal application, like I have the role of a Bible teacher. So what do I do as a Bible teacher exercising my gift of teaching? I'm not just imparting certain facts, you know. Of course, that may be there. Any one of us who is gifted in teaching the word, whenever you open your mouth, you definitely, by the grace of God, you impart facts, and to enlighten our mind and to improve our knowledge. But that is not the ultimate purpose of the gift of teaching. That is one of the purposes. But in the broader context of the church is the divinely authorized agency to carry out the plan and purpose of God in this dispensation. So when we exercise our spiritual gifts, example, the gift of teaching, it is not simply to impart facts and knowledge, but to move believers into more Christ-likeness, draw closer to them to His word and to the Lord Jesus Christ, so they may faithfully follow the Lord Jesus Christ as a result of the instruction imparted by the Bible teacher. I hope that is clear. You know, that is, it is not giving facts as a result of the exposition of God's word, teaching of God's word. Believers are motivated, encouraged, challenged, and they are enabled, helped to move forward to spiritual maturity and progress, and to draw closer to the Lord in discipleship and commitment, and follow and serve the Lord effectively. That is how the Spirit of God operates through the spiritual gifts. It is not I wrote in the Facebook last week, you know, like a points to ponder which many people follow. Like one of the things which many people liked was this point. Spiritual gifts are not for exhibition. It is for edification. You know, so the spiritual gifts, however great and wonderful gifts the Lord gives us, multiple gifts maybe, it is not to impart any kind of sensationalism to somebody, to do anything spectacular, to create, you know, and a self-image that may be applauded by everyone. It is not for exhibition. It is for edification. So the truths imparted, the knowledge imparted, the enlightenment imparted, that should move our hearts toward spiritual maturity and to walk closer to the Lord, to apply that and to be faithful disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope and pray that as we look into the slides and as we study about spiritual gifts, we should not, you know, forget some of the valuable spiritual lessons that are involved in this study. Now, looking at this slide, spiritual gifts and natural talents, probably many of us already know about it, but even some of our Sunday school students, children are attending this, so this is very important for all of us. Natural talents and spiritual gifts are two different things. Natural talents are natural abilities, but given to us by God Himself, the Creator, and it is imparted to us at our birth, through our parents, through some genetic influence. And natural talents are given both to believers and unbelievers, to everyone. It is God's gift to humanity, for the welfare of humanity, for the enjoyment of humanity. For example, the gift of drawing, the gift of being an artist, the gift of singing, the gift of oratory, you know, the talents, natural talents. So there are so many natural talents people are endowed with, people are blessed with. And, it is not restricted to believers only. It is restricted to people everywhere, in all groups, whether atheists or agnostics, it doesn't matter. But it is God's gift to humanity to benefit mankind generally. God has a purpose. It is God's gift. Whether the person exercising it acknowledges it or not, it is God's gift. Whether it is in the area of singing or music or leadership or wherever it is, that natural talent to do that, that is very obvious. You know, when certain people do it, we know that, even unbelievers, God has given them that talent so that they can do it well. But spiritual gifts are given by God only to believers. Natural talents both to believers and unbelievers from God. And natural talents also will be influenced by our hereditary genes and through our parents. There is an influence. But spiritual gifts are given by God only to believers. The word of God does not particularly, specifically say at what time we receive spiritual gifts. So the natural conclusion is that it is at the moment of our conversion, salvation, regeneration, being born into God's family through the baptizing work of the Holy Spirit. So it can be a safe conclusion that it is at our conversion that God gives us those spiritual gifts. We may not be aware of that at the time of our conversion. Only when we read the word of God, study it, we come to know about it. The Lord has already endowed me with spiritual gifts. Then we also have the responsibility to exercise and to develop it. So natural talents people get at birth and they exercise, they slowly develop it. Encouragement is needed. In the same way, spiritual gifts are given at the moment of conversion. At the time of conversion, it is independent of parents. You know, my parents or your parents, they don't have anything to do with the spiritual gifts which the Lord has given you. Because spiritual gifts are God-given abilities. Nobody else contributes in that process. It is grace gifts. Like salvation is by grace, and also spiritual gifts and ministry also by the grace of God. So nobody else contributes. No outside influence and contribution. And its primary purpose is to benefit the body of Christ, particularly. You know? So, natural talents, it is from God. God is the source of it. Given at birth, through parents, the purpose is mankind may be benefited generally. But spiritual gifts, source is God, given at conversion, independent of parents, and it is on a spiritual level. The last week we studied the Greek words, pneumatikos. It is in the spiritual realm. Natural talents are in the natural realm. Sarkikos. The natural realm. You know. But the spiritual gifts, they are in the spiritual realm. So that is a very big difference. Both must be recognized. Even people who have natural talents, we know parents know the importance of it. It has to be recognized, it has to be developed, and it has to be exercised so that it may become a blessing to others. A natural talent may be involved in your spiritual gift. Now, what do I mean by that? You know, a natural talent, example, like a person, a school teacher, good natural talent of teaching and communication. But that person also is a believer. And that person also may have the added blessing of the spiritual gift. So, it is kind of a double blessing. And that is why those who were good, like I'm more into Bible teaching and also I'm using that example more. That is, those who were good teachers in colleges, universities, in schools with their natural talents before they came to know the Lord, after their conversion, I know many of them like that. they became elders and they became very good Bible teachers because the Lord also added the spiritual gift of teaching to them. So they already have the natural gift of teaching, and the Lord also giving them the gift of teaching, so that the body of Christ, the believers, may be blessed and edified through their ministry. So the Lord seems to have given the gift of teaching with those with the natural gift of teaching also. Now, another important thing is the third point there, similarities in source, process and function, but major differences in the areas of possession, empowering, impact and results. So the difference between natural talents and spiritual gifts are in the area of possession. We possess spiritual gifts at the time of our conversion, born again, regeneration, not at birth. And it is energized and empowered by the Spirit of God, and its impact and result is the edification of the body of Christ to fulfill God's specific plan and purpose to advance the cause of His church. But that is not the case with the natural talents. It is for the general blessing of mankind. Now, another important question that can be asked at this point is, think about the example of George Beverly Shea, who used to sing with for Billy Graham Crusades. So somebody asked him one day, "You have been singing with Dr. Billy Graham for the last many, many years, and his gift is very evident. That is, the gift, Billy Graham's gift is the gift of an evangelist. But sir, what is your gift?" So he also replied, "My gift is also evangelism." So the person who asked that question was kind of perplexed. "Oh, well, hey, no, I'm not talking about Billy Graham. I'm talking about you. Yes, I'm talking about myself. My gift is the gift of evangelism and exhortation. But you don't preach?" "Yes, I don't. But God has given me a natural gift in the area of music. And God uses that natural talent I have as a vehicle to express my spiritual gift of evangelism, sharing the gospel, comforting people, and exhorting people in the truth of God through the medium of music." I think he was a better theologian than Billy Graham, you know. So that is a profound statement. That is, he didn't say that, "Oh, what is your gift?" The person who asked, expected, "Oh, it is singing, music is my gift." No, music is never mentioned as a spiritual gift, but it is a natural talent. But God can take that platform of singing, music, musical abilities, and infuse it with the spiritual gifts of teaching and exhortation, comforting, evangelism, so that through your natural talent infused with the spiritual gifts which God has given to you, others are richly blessed. They come to know the truth. George Beverly Shea's songs and many other musically talented people, even among our midst, you know, even in this group, how they bless us, not simply through their music, but the way they sing it, and how the Lord ministers to our hearts in times of need through the lyrics based on the Word of God. So that is a very, very profound truth we must understand. So we must praise God for our natural talents, and we must praise God for our spiritual gifts, and God can use it. For believers, for natural talents, for unbelievers, they are not going to bless the body of Christ or others. It is to impart enjoyment. See? The musical talents of a person who is not a Christian, devoid of any spiritual gift, he is there to entertain people. He is there to give them some refreshing experience and to give them some enjoyment. Maybe in the right way, there is nothing wrong in that. But when a child of God, who is gifted, endowed, spiritually, with the spiritual capacity which God has given, then what happens? When he exercises his natural ability, natural talent of whether teaching or drawing or communicating or sharing something, the Lord can make it a real blessing through the channel which of natural talent which the Lord has already given to them. So that is a very, very important thing which we must understand. Okay, some contrast with general commands. So what are the contrast with general commands? See this here. Okay. Though general commands are given to all believers, this must be distinguished from spiritual gifts. This is also a very important practical truth which we must not overlook. For example, some general commands. All should exhort one another. Hebrews 10:25. It doesn't say, oh, those of you who have the gift of exhortation, only you please exhort. No. All should exhort. But what is the difference in the light of our study so far? Only some have the actual gift of exhortation. Exhortation, the Greek word translated as exhortation, is the same word that is used as encouragement, comfort and consolation, counseling, you know. So in the modern use of our language and ministries, counseling is also a very appropriate word. So all can counsel, all should, and all should exhort. But what is the difference? Some have the actual gift of exhortation, and that becomes a great blessing because that is the spiritual endowment. You know, when we were in Bangalore, Bethesda Assembly, you know, I served as one of the elders for nearly 10 years there. And I carried on with my travel and ministries also and teaching in Asian Christian Academy. But when I am there, the elders wanted me to take like series sometimes, which I take here, you know. So series of Bible studies or series of messages. Okay, so they know my calling and how the Lord has gifted me. So, you know, they encourage me as you encourage me here. So after maybe 4, 5, 6 weeks or 3, 4 weeks of ministry and everything, then I sometimes listen to the next person speaking next Sunday. He's not a scholar or a theologian or not a big teacher. I can think of, you know, a couple of those graceful faces. Some of them are with the Lord now, some of them still living. Simple exhortation. And I sometimes weep when I listen to that. Because after all my, you know, heavy stuff, the assembly needed it, I also needed it. Can I give exhortation? Yes, I can also. You know, but when those dear brethren, when they gave the exhortation, they were not gifted teachers, but they were gifted to exhort, encourage, counsel, to bring a word of comfort to us. Dear brothers and sisters, that is very obvious. When people minister, if you don't believe it, I believe it. Because that is the whole truth of spiritual gifts. your spiritual gift and ability will be evidenced by the way you serve the Lord, not only in communication, but in every area of life. There are many here, including our sisters, who serve this assembly. And, you know, sometimes they don't get much public approval as many of us get. But we know how their touch, their organization, their words, and the simple things which they do has been a blessing to this assembly in various ways and in a profound way. And we have been blessed by that, because that is how the Lord has equipped them. So let us praise God for the spiritual gifts, the natural talents, and I hope things are in good perspective now, so we can balance it well and use it for God's glory. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you for the precious time given to us again to look into your word and to study the truth of spiritual gifts, and also to think about the applicational side of it. It's a very humbling exercise for us to know that you have gifted us, endowed us with the spiritual energies and powers to serve you and to your people. Help us to be humble, pure, and faithful as we serve you and as we exercise our spiritual gifts. Pray that our ministries, the ministries of each and everyone, may contribute to the well-being of this assembly, and our study on spiritual gifts may give us a very healthy and more scriptural perspective about our activities and our ministries, both personally and collectively. We thank you and praise you again in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.